Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You can't win anything with kids.
I will love it if we beat them. Love it.
How much are the players looking forward to Arsene Wenger arriving?
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Phoenix Five Show. Today we've got another banger of an episode. It's player versus player. It's the best of the 90s versus the best of modern day. It's Ronaldo versus Ronaldo. It's R9 versus CR7.
We do need players who can change the game.
The president said to me, we need bums on seats, Bobby. We need a top-class striker. Do you know where there is one? I said, yes. I know there's a young kid in PSV that I like very much. I think he's terrific, but he's a risk.
This was the real Ronaldo, 19 years old, from Brazil. Il fenomeno.
Ronaldo Nazario, the best Ronaldo ever. I never saw the same.
My manager called me and tell me that Bob Robson is crazy to have me in Barcelona. And I say, oh my God. This is a big challenge.
He was fast, intelligent. He could absolutely everything.
Barcelona won 5-2. He was a brilliant star forcer, Bobby, in Barcelona.
Ronaldo is special. He's the physique of a middleweight boxer. You know, good shoulders, good biceps, good body, fantastic legs. And he's one of the quickest players I've ever seen with the ball.
Something like that. Cristiano Ronaldo looks angry with himself. He needn't be so difficult to handle because every time he picks up the ball, he goes quickly with it. Wrongs foot defenders, 2 feet, good in the air, brave. Comparisons with George Best, of course.
Totti. Running at Kivu, beating the goalkeeper, 4-0. All his own work. Memorable individual goal from Cristiano Ronaldo to cap a memorable half for Manchester United, who lead 4-0. Pizarro is dispossessed by Ronaldo. He's got Smith and Fletcher in support. Giggs, terrific cross, Smith is there, it's Ronaldo! Manchester United 5, Roma 0.
Over, skillfully kept in by Ronaldo, then the familiar step over.
Now Ronaldo, bamboozled the left back again.
They've made it difficult for them, but United listen to it. This fella's been terrific. I mean, he has been terrific. Every time he gets the ball, the crowd are on their feet.
It's more likely age will determine the answer to this one. Fans who grew up in the 90s and noughties will probably tell you Cristiano Ronaldo doesn't come close to his Brazilian namesake, while the modern-day fan will laugh at the suggestion of even putting R9 in the same league as CR7. So without going through stats, trophies, individual honours, we'll be here all day, lads. So I'm going to jump straight into this debate. I've got four key points for all of us to discuss and determine who was the better player. So before we get into the key points, I want you all to tell me and the listeners a bit about both players. I want you to start off. So I'll start with you, Paul.
Obviously, up with this topic, I was very much on the CR7 bandwagon. And then I've looked into stats, as I do, because obviously I think stats play an important part. I've looked at some of the goals they've scored. It's a hard one. It is a hard one. I think for me, Cristiano Ronaldo, for talent, Ronaldo, a Brazilian Ronaldo, has the more natural talent. But for someone that's developed their game, longevity, the difference he makes to the teams, a lot of people talk about Ronaldo, Messi. I think Ronaldo's a much better assessment. So Brazilian Ronaldo, I remember him at Old Trafford scoring a hat-trick in the Champions League.
Ronaldo on the move. It's Ronaldo. Oh, it's a stunner. A fantastic opening goal. And to apply a bit of pressure at the start of the second half. Roberto Carlos, Ronaldo, and that surely now is game over. It's a second for Ronaldo. Figo. Ronaldo. Oh, that's sensational. What a goal by Ronaldo. And what a goal to complete the hat-trick. And listen to this. Old Trafford stands as one to applaud through into the semi-finals of this season's UEFA Champions League, thanks to a hat-trick from Ronaldo.
And the Old Trafford fans stood up at the end and just applauded him off because he was just phenomenal that day.
I found this topic hard because it's easy for us at our age just to say R9, that's it. R9 is unbelievable, which he is. But I don't think you can take anything away from Cristiano Ronaldo. For me, he pisses over Messi. I don't think there's, I'm sure that people are going to come back and say it's bollocks, but it's the truth. He does. He's done it in other countries. He just does more. And for me, he's better than Messi. It's hard with comparing him to R9, and it's only an opinion. It's an if or but. I feel if he'd have had longevity, he would have. I think there would be no doubt. But the fact that he didn't, I'm really on the fence with this one. I really find it hard to pinpoint, pinpoint one down and say he's definitely better than R9 or CR7's better. I struggle with this.
Okay, that's fair enough. Yeah, it's early days. We've only just started. Fair enough, yeah.
I've sat down and had the time to think about it. And if you're gonna start, take off the rose-tinted glasses and talk real, you can't just dismiss Cristiano Ronaldo against him just totally. You can have an opinion and say, yeah, you think he's better, which we're all gonna do. But if you sit down and actually analyse it, you can't just go, oh no, Ronaldo, Brazilian Ronaldo is much better. Like, you can't. Like I say, if you're gonna look into it. So it's a difficult one. Right. It's all based on opinions, but if you're gonna be real and you're gonna talk real, you have to you can't just dismiss one than the other.
Definitely. Okay. Let's move to Lee. You two have just had a say. You've both mentioned Messi. Let's try and leave Messi out of the conversation because this is between the two Ronaldos. Lee, CR7, R9, and Alisson on both, mate.
Well, obviously growing up, like this is like an R90s podcast. Ronaldo, R9, was the first player I thought, wow. He had the X factor for me from day one. But like Dave Holland said, it's true. With R7, his stats are unreal. Like, Ronaldo, R9 only played like 343 appearances, like club level, throughout his whole career. Like, Ronaldo has almost played that amount of games for Real Madrid. So, That's what I'm going. Look, personally, I loved R9. I think that he brought step overs, nutmegs. He was fast, powerful. But the thing with Ronaldo, like, I think R9, it was just like natural ability. But R7, he's had to work hard for it. Like, when he first came to Man United, he was like, he's a winger. Like, he was a bit flash, but you can't deny him that every single year, he just tries to be the best athlete he can. Like, he's ripped still. Like, you see when he takes his top off, you think, fuck, yeah. Not. Like, he obviously, he don't eat the wrong foods. He don't drink. I'm assuming that he don't, you know, he's just like the complete person in my opinion. Whereas R9, he had weight issues. He got fat. Like, I just don't think about technically ability. That's why I think he drunk and he got fit because he didn't need to. He was just imagine if R9 had R7's like, don't know the word I'm looking for.
Work ethic.
Yeah. If he had that in place, then I think he would win. But looking at the goals and ratios and stuff like that, R7 wins. But my personal opinion, I think R9 ability was better.
I think just to jump in, Paul,
carry on. I think, a minute, carry on, mate.
A very good point because Capello said about Ronaldo, I think the famous quote was the most difficult player to handle was the best player I coached. And he said the last like two seasons, because they brought Van Nistelrooy in to replace him, I think in 2006, I think it was. And he had injuries his last two seasons at Madrid. And injuries are one thing, and people go, end his career early, you know, the injuries. Yes, it had a factor towards it, of course it did. But his own mindset, as Lee just brought up to it, in terms of the drinking, in terms of the partying, in terms of the overweightness, that's nothing to do with the injuries. That was him being him and being undisciplined. So I think if you're going to, as I say, if you're marking it down on per player, as a professional, Cristiano Ronaldo is a far better professional than Ronaldo is. And as I said at the beginning...
Well, yeah, that's what I was trying to get at. That's what I was basically saying.
Yeah. And you're absolutely right. And at the beginning, as I said, is I think in terms of natural ability, yes, Ronaldo wins, or you know, we're just quotes R9 and R7 to make it easier. R7 wins on the professionalism, and R9 wins on the ability. But then it's not just about ability, as a lot of people know. To be the best at something, it's about applying yourself. A lot of players make it in the Premier League era, and they're not even that good, some of them, but they have the raw ability to just do the best they can do, and they're really hard working. So I think the Ronaldo injury thing gets brought up a bit too often. I think people seem to forget his lack of professionalism that caused him to leave Real Madrid, you know, and then go on to AC Milan and only have 20 games there. So for me, I think as what Lee was trying to say, the professionalism has a big factor in it for me.
Okay. Right, let's move on to the key points that I mentioned in the introduction. Okay. I want to start with key point one. This is international trophies versus European trophies, okay? So I'll give a brief introduction and then I'll shoot with Dave, okay? Let's listen to this. Right, let's start with R9, who won two Copa Americas with Brazil, which is equal to the Euros, and the biggest prize in world football, the World Cup. He won it twice. It could have been three, apart from that strange incident in the final of France 98. And now in CR7's case, he's won the Euros once, but he's also won Europe's top club competition on five times to two different clubs. R9 has never won the Champions League, plus Cristiano is still playing in 2021. So it's possible that he might add to the tally. And just to add, CR7 is the leading goal scorer in the competition to date with 134 goals in 176 games. So let's start with you, Dave. International trophies versus European trophies. Does it matter? Would you put one over the other, or does the Champions League take over, mate?
I don't think the Copa America can be compared to Euros. I think there's better teams in it. I might be wrong, but I think it's a more competitive competition, the Euros, than the Copa America. I don't know if anyone else would agree.
Yeah, I do.
You rattled off them stats there, and they're magical. Like, they are unbelievable. But they just sound similar to me. I don't know. Does anyone else think the same? Like, you know, like, I don't, when I'm listening to Graham say that, it still doesn't make me think I can pick one over the other.
Okay, as a host, I'm going to challenge that. What do you know what the Copa America is?
Yeah.
Yeah, so why do you think the Euros are a better competition than the Copa America? I'm just asking why.
Well, I might be wrong. This is just...
just your opinion. Why is it a better competition?
I would say the Euros was more competitive. The teams were better.
Okay, better than the South American side, yeah?
Well, you know, don't get me wrong. They've had their moments, South American side, with your Colombias and your Chilis. They've had, especially in the 90s, they had some unbelievable teams. So, yeah. But I feel, over a period of time, the Euros would have been more competitive than that. Do you look at it? I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not 100% clued up on how it's going now, but I can imagine that Brazil and Argentina, maybe another team, are more or less going to win that most years.
You would say Brazil, Argentina, heavy favourites every single time going into the tournament. You can't say Portugal. You couldn't name two European teams and say
Greece won the Euros for, you know what I mean, Greece. You know, so
that's an anomaly that you can't use that as a comparison. That's an anomaly.
No, I'm not saying that, but they have to be included though,
because they have won it, like Denmark. Yeah. They have to be included. I know what Paul's saying. Paul's totally right. It's like a one-off, isn't it? But yeah, they have to be included because they have won that trophy.
England ain't won it, so you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, that's true. Football.
So for us, we're not going to be able to compare. It's like the Club World Cup when that comes on every 4 years. The teams in it, you don't even know who they are, but then they come up against the World Club Championships. And
I'm not being funny as well, but going on what Graham said, obviously, the Champions League, right? Ronaldo didn't win the Champions League Real Madrid when they had the Galacticos. You know what I mean? They had your Zidanes, your Figos, Beckhams, all this lot. Don't get me wrong, Cristiano Ronaldo won it with an unbelievable team, but if you're going to compare Real Madrid teams that won it, who would you boys pick? If you're going to pick a team for Real Madrid, are you going to pick the team that's won it four times in a row recently, or whatever it was, three times or five times in the last 4 years? Or are you going to pick the Galacticos without looking at the stats, or just player for player on paper? You're going to pick the Galacticos, and they didn't win it.
100%.
But also, Lee, do you agree with Dave? Do you agree with what I'm saying?
He hasn't
mentioned World Cups, Lee. What would you say about the World Cups Ronaldo's won? That's obviously the major honour in world football. Does that come above Champions League or not? What do you think, mate?
Yeah, I personally, that's pretty close. Like, because every young boy grows up, they want to win the World Cup. Like, I don't ever see when you're a young boy getting into football or a young girl, the first thing is you don't ever say, oh, I can't, when I grow up, I'd love to win the Champions League.
Do you reckon that was when we were kids? Do you reckon that's different now? I mean, that was why when we were kids, the World Cup was a big thing. Do you think the Champions League's now overtaken that? And they would say that.
I think to our age group, it might have changed, because I think now, again, I read something earlier on. It was saying, because you know this, just to go off very slightly, the new Super League that was poo-pooed down very quickly. One of the quotes that came out from just on a forum, and he said, because the biggest thing was they're saying they're not getting the viewers from like the younger generation up to like 24, 25. They're losing those in the competitions now. And someone put like a thing against it. And it was like, when I was a kid, I watched Champions League on ITV when it had 16 million people viewing it. Sky took and BT took Champions League off British TV, and they asked me why they're losing the fans. And that was a very good point, because that is a major point that it's not on TV. When we was there, Champions League was on the TV all the time. I don't watch it as much as I used to because it's on BT. So I think now, I think it almost comes back to, you don't want to say anything other than the World Cup, because it's what everyone is generally going to say they want to win is the World Cup. But I reckon deep down, obviously you want to win the World Cup. It's still a prestigious tournament. But I think the Champions League is very close to the World Cup now. And as you're saying, you're comparing Ronaldo and Ronaldo with the Brazilian team. That was the best Brazilian team in a decade, in God knows how many years, and how many years after. You know, was it Rivaldo, Romario, Roberto Carlos? That was the best Brazilian team I think has ever been produced. So you're going against... And bear in mind, the Euros was won by Portugal I wouldn't even say it's the best Portugal team that's been in the last 25 years. He just has a way, and he didn't play in the finals, he got injured. But even on the bench...
I think he started and came off, didn't he?
Yeah, he got injured. He came off for 8 minutes, but he was on the bench, he was prepping the team. Everyone goes how much of an individual he is, but on the side, he was just as much a coach and motivating the team. So I think it's difficult to compare, but not winning the Champions League. When we did our Champions League in the 90s, we spoke about Ronaldo didn't even come up into it because he hadn't really been in it, and he hadn't really won it, or he had any influence in it, which is quite surprising for a player that you was dominating in the leagues he was in. Do you not find?
Well, you make a great point there, Paul. Paul made a good point at the start about, you know, we're going to refer to his injuries all the time. Anyone can answer. Is that not a major factor, though, lads? His injuries of why he was not part of a Champions winning side? Because...
I think it is a major factor, because I said earlier, I'm on the fence with the pair of them. And it's because of the injury. I feel if he had the longevity that Cristiano Ronaldo's now got, I mean, the numbers that he was racking up to that point were unbelievable. I think he would have probably done more than what Cristiano Ronaldo has done. But the injury does, you know. I've got some stats in front of me from.
Go on, Dave. Arnold. Reel them off, mate. Go on.
Before his 21st birthday, right? He scored for, is it, my pronunciation would be CAC. Is it Cruz? You'll know, Dave.
Cruzeiro.
He got 44 goals in 47 games for them, yeah? Yeah, 54 goals in 57 appearances for PSV and 47 goals in 49 appearances for Barcelona. That was before he was 21. Now, you can't tell me if he didn't have injuries that wouldn't, you know, it would have been off the chart.
It is if and buts.
We won't ever know. But, you know, if you're going on that.
After his injury, he went to Inter Milan and scored 49 goals in 68 and Real Madrid 83 and 127. So it wasn't a decline, that's what I'm saying. You say about the injuries, but it wasn't like he went...
No, I'm not saying his injuries were then. I'm just saying, you know, it's got another factor. You look at the numbers he was racking up.
After he had the injuries, he still was racking up the same numbers. There's a distinct difference. If he had the injury, came back and was getting 1 in 5, then you go, oh, injuries ruined it. You know, there's not, I'm sorry, nothing to do with the injuries at Real Madrid. He's got 83 goals in 127. And prior to that, Inter Milan, he scored 49 in 68. And even when he went to AC Milan, he scored 9 goals in 20. He went to Corinthians at the end of his career and scored 18 in 31. He was scoring goals still at a very good rate. So the injury thing is not to do with injuries, it's lifestyle. He chose the wrong lifestyle, and a lot of the injuries he picked up was because he had a lack of professionalism. So that comes into the character.
Okay, let's stop there, Ben, Paul. You've made some valid points, as always, all of you. I will come back to you, Paul, because the key point I made was international trophies versus European trophies.
What's your opinion?
I need to ask. No, hang on. I haven't asked you about the actual question yet. You've gone on random about other stuff. So I want to ask you, Paul, briefly tell me international trophies versus European trophies. R9's World Cups against Cristiano Ronaldo's European trophy and his Champions League. What do you think is more worthy, mate? Keep it brief, because then we will move on to my point. Then we'll move on to key point two.
I think I've covered most of it, just what I just said. I think they're two different...
Not really. You haven't really mentioned World Cup, so you haven't.
As I said, he won the World Cup with the best Brazilian team in the last 50, 60 years. So It wasn't like he was an average team. He still had to do a job with Scolari was a fantastic manager on international level and got the best out of Ronaldo. Ronaldo...
You haven't really spoke on Ronaldo, CR7's 5 Champions Leagues. That's a major achievement.
Yeah.
I know it's a one-man game. It's 11, you know, there's 11 in the team, but to win it in five times in two different clubs.
Yeah, I think he's got a fantastic record. And again, as David said about Ronaldo at Real Madrid, you look at the team he had around him compared to the Galactico era, you know, he's not single-handedly, but the thing is with Ronaldo, when you look at his goal records, there's strikers out there that have a phenomenal record and get the second in a 3-1 win, or they get the third in a 4-1, you know, whatever it would be. Ronaldo was scoring winning goals season in, season out. So many of his goals were winning games single-handedly, whether it be a penalty, a free kick, a 90th minute, whatever it would be. So he had an impact in so many games. Let me go on to his assists. His assists compared to Brazilian Ronaldo, 219 assists. This is as of May 2020. 219 assists. Ronaldo got 59. So game contributions was massive. And I think the Champions League at United, when he won that when we beat Chelsea, he was average in that game, but he still managed to draw up the penalty and score a penalty in the game. The two we lost against Barcelona that he was involved in, that's when we got to see the selfish side. If he was a bit older, as he was at Real Madrid, I think Man United would have won more in Europe. But it became that rivalry with Messi around that time, which then
all
focused on him.
Before I move on to key point two, I'll put my pen in. International trophies versus European. The World Cup and the Champions League are both major trophies and world and European accolade. The Champions League, as you all know my views, is not the trophy it should be, but it's still an achievement. For Ronaldo to win it five times, two different clubs and still be playing is off the scale for me. But Ronaldo winning the World Cup as well on two different occasions, they're equal. But if I'm have to pick, I'm not going to be biased because I'm always 90s biased, but Cristiano Ronaldo's achievements compared to World Cups, I mean, don't get me wrong, you get a lot of crap in the World Cup and you also get a lot of crap in the European Championships, Champions League, sorry, but Cristiano Ronaldo probably just tops it for me because of his consistency. But yeah, great opinions there, lads. So I'm going to move on to key point two. This is goals versus versatility. David Holland, he covered quite a lot there of my stats, I was going to say, but I'll carry on anyway. Brazilian Ronaldo scored 44 at 47 at Cruzeiro, as Dave said, 54 and 57 at PSV, 47 and 49 at Barca. This is all before his 21st birthday across two continents and three countries. R9 was virtually unplayable before his career was hampered by a recurring knee injury, as we know. Moving on to Cristiano. His breakout season at United was 31 goals in 34 games. Whereas R9 was always an out-and-out striker, CR7 started his goal-scoring tally as a winger. And in his early years, rather than a centre-forward like he is now. So basically what I'm trying to say is CR7 started his goal tally, well, for what it is now, as a winger, but R9 started as a centre-forward and has always been a centre-forward. That's what he gets paid for. Let's start with Lee Harper. We go with Lee. CR7 and R9, one's a striker, one's a winger, converted to forward. Does it matter? Or is there a comparison, do you think?
No, not really. Like, Ronaldo, him moving central, a great idea, I think. Like, even when he was on the wing, he always used to come inside. So it would. But I wouldn't say... I would say that they are slightly different players. Like, I would say R9 is an out-and-out striker, where R7, I wouldn't say he's an out-and-out striker, but obviously he's brilliant at what he does, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wouldn't say Ronaldo is a number nine, but I'd say... I wouldn't say Cristiano Ronaldo is a number nine, but... I would say R9 is a number nine.
Good point. As well, because I mentioned the key point of goals versus versatility, would you say CR7 maybe edges it because of his versatility, as he can play as a winger and a striker and do the same damage, whereas R9 is just basically a striker and just does what a striker is supposed to do?
Yeah, well, you know, when you say about the goals and stuff, and right, look, They are pretty similar. Like, in each year, like the goal tallies there. Like, I know R9 never played nowhere near as many games, but the games that he did play, like Paul mentioned earlier, 83 appearances, 69 goals, or 127 appearances, 84 goals. And Ronaldo, they are similar stats.
Mm.
So, like, I just think, look, they're both. I don't know. I don't really know what to say about the position, but I just would say Cristiano isn't an out-and-out striker.
Dave, as we've just said, R9's goal-scoring record before his 21st birthday was off the scale. Do you think that counts for anything compared to Cristiano Ronaldo's versatility as scoring in from the wing and up front? Does R9's goal, you know, the way he scored goals as a youngster coming to Europe and not affecting his game at all? What's your opinion, mate? I mean, it's quite a hard one to say when we talk about positions versus goals. What do you take in it, mate?
For me, R9, like I say, is unbelievable. But the teams that he was in, I keep going back to the Galacticos. If he's for some reason not playing, that team still wins in my eyes. Whereas Cristiano Ronaldo, you know, when he's not in that, when he's playing and he's not there, I feel he affects the game more. Even if he's not scoring goals, he's lifting that team. Now, I'm not saying R9 doesn't, because R9 could just do it on a turn of a sixpence, magic, bang, game's won. But I feel that Cristiano does more for the team. Even though he is a selfish player, and it is all about him, and you have to have that sort of selfishness to get where you are. I feel he does more for the team.
But Dave, than... that's a media perception about the whole selfish player. He's got, you know, 219 assists over his career. That doesn't say to me scream out selfish. I think now as he got as did the
that's what I've just said. I've just said that he brings more to the team than an R9. R9 can score your goals and win your games himself. But you know, I feel that Cristiano brings more to the team. You know when he's not playing. I feel like when Ronaldo was R9 was playing, you had a Figo or a Zidane or anyone else that could change a game. I'm not saying that the players around Cristiano were shit, but he just seemed to have more of an effect on the whole team and the whole and the game, I feel, than R9 does.
Miller's not here, so I'm just going to just jump in for very quickly to flip it somewhat. But you've got to bear in mind, and again, I'm a CR7 guy, but you've got to bear in mind the defenders that were around in the Ronaldo era. That's what really impressed me. You know, Maldini's, Nesta's, Cannavaro's. I can't even think of the Spanish centre defence at Barcelona at the time. It was, especially in Serie A, R9 played in the golden era in Serie A, didn't he? You know, it was the league to be in for about 3 or 4 years.
CR7 can play in different positions now, and he can affect the game from different positions. Now, I know he went up front, but he started off as a winger, cutting in and all that sort of stuff. R9 was just a nine. But don't get me wrong, he was the best nine. But, you know, so that's why I feel that Cristiano would affect the team more. But like I say, with his assists. I don't know what the R9's assists are, but it can't be anywhere near CR7's.
59. Yeah.
But like I say, but you want to, but there, like there are different positions. Like you wouldn't put, like Lee said, you wouldn't put CR7 as an out and out striker. So for me, he's doing more for the team.
Yeah. You know, Would you agree with that, Paul? Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. I think you've got to, it's difficult to do again, but if you break it up in terms of like speed and pace and, you know, CR7, I think his passing ability is better. I think his set pieces was more dangerous from set pieces. I think his movement off the ball was fantastic as well. And I think, you know, that's a very close one to call.
Sorry, let me just jump in, Paul. It's free kicks. I haven't got the stats with me. I'm just on the top of my head. He doesn't score many free kicks, old CR7.
Not as many now, but he had and I agree, he takes a lot and misses a lot, but I think that was more at Juventus.
I think that's the one thing that you could sort of hold against him, which is not many, but you know, is his free kicks.
But Ronaldo to Ronaldo, I'm saying in terms of skill sets, I think Ronaldo from a winger to turn people, you know, back in the day, you didn't really go from a winger to a forward. I can't think of many players. Apart from maybe Henri. As you've gone from a wing to a striking, and then you find your key area with Henri. What was he, 24, 25 when he hit his peak, I would say, in that period when he started getting goals? So Brazilian Ronaldo started off as a striker and was banging in goals left, right, and center. Ronaldo took a bit more time to get into the game because he was learning on the wing. And now, with all young strikers, generally speaking, I might be wrong and anyone disagree with me, young strikers coming through now seem to start on the wing. And then move into.
I think it's down to the more to the formation the teams play nowadays. Like they play like, what would you class Mane and Salah? Like, are they strikers or are they wingers?
For me, they're wingers.
Well, this is what I'm getting at. It's the teams nowadays, they don't, not many of them play like 4-4-2.
No, I wouldn't say they were. I wouldn't say they were wingers.
No.
Strikers. Now you could class Trent Alexander's more of a winger than a fullback.
Marnie up front. Could you put Marnie in the centre of a three up front?
Hang on. Let's let the host come in here. I agree 100% with David Holland. There's no way Mane and Firmino are classed as wingers. You might disagree. The old fashioned winger, the winger to me is your Andre Kanchelskis, your Stuart Ripley, your Steve Guppy. Forget about. Don't start comparing them with class. That to me is a winger. Your Mane and your Firmino now are more of a forward, but they do the job of a winger to an extent. Do you agree with that or not? There's no way they're wingers. There's no way. Andrei Kanchelskis was a winger.
Yeah, but that's a different era.
Go on, Paul, go on.
That's a different era. Wingers now...
We're talking about the 90s, though.
But what I'm saying is, back in the day when Ronaldo came through as a winger, he was a winger.
Yeah.
And now, he, as with age, if... He went up top to adapt his game. So if he stayed on the wing, he would have struggled because now it's about cutting inside. But I don't see how you could say Mane and Firmino, because if you're going to be, say, they're a forward, left forward, right forward, all that, you've got to be able to play across the front three. I don't think that Mane and maybe Salah to a point, but I don't think Mane. I'm sorry, Mane's not off striker for me. Mane's a winger. He beats a man.
I strongly disagree.
And so do I.
Harper?
Well, that's what. I'm on the fence with this. I really don't know if they're like. I have debates about. I have like speak to other people, and some say they're wingers, some say they're forwards. Like, I wouldn't use the word striker with them, but forwards, yes. But not wingers. I wouldn't say they're wingers. No.
Do you think Ronaldo could have played on the wing?
What?
Do you think Brazilian Ronaldo could have played on the wing at any stage of his career?
Well, yeah, of course. I think he could have because he was that good. But
with his pace, 100%. Yeah, I agree.
He was, but he's more effective in the up top.
Yeah.
So that's.
I don't think he could have played on the wing personally.
On what basis?
I think he would have
Cristiano Ronaldo every given point, by the way. You're like, you're just dismissing everything about him. Like, you're saying, R9's this, R9's that, shit.
I said earlier on, in terms of the World Cups and the Championship, it's hard to compare. I don't think he played in the wings. I think he had the ability. Yes, okay, maybe he had the ability, but I think he would have cut inside. And back in the day when you was a winger, as Graham said, a winger's job was to beat a man and get a ball in the box. Yeah. I don't think Ronaldo was great. Was a great crosser of the ball. He would get his head down and he head up and he would run at players. But he
how do you know he was a good? You never see him do it. So he never done it. So how can you say he's not a good crosser?
From what I've seen, from watching clips, I don't remember him crossing the ball or going down the wing. So
because you've never played in those positions, so you ain't going to see him. That's what I'm trying to say.
Sorry, lads. The host has to bite in again. This is a fantastic debate, actually. Before I move on to argument three, I want to stick with this just for a bit longer. Paul, you make some good points as well, and so does Lee. But Dave did ask you, Paul, on what basis would you say Ronaldo wouldn't be able to play as a winger? Because I just want to put my pen in here. I brought up a few weeks ago about Mark Overmars being a step above your average winger. Well, he didn't do what Kanchelskis did. He actually did cut in and he brought players away and played the ball through to the middlemen. So going back to Dave's question, on what basis would you say R9 could not be a winger?
He can't cross the ball, apparently.
Okay.
I think if you're going on the tradition of the right wingers or left wingers or whatever it would have been, I think the job was to beat a man and get a ball in the box. And I think Ronaldo would have cut inside and it would have been just what an extra. I still think it would have been a fantastic play. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he would have been a flop by any stretch of the imagination, but I think it would have been a bit like Henry. I think he would have struggled.
Don't think Cristiano Ronaldo ever cut inside? You think he went outside every single time and crossed it in the box?
That's why he became a striker, because his natural instinct was to become a striker. Henry is a natural striker. Yeah, but he started on the wing and he struggled on the wing. And then he moved inside because...
Definitely at Juventus he struggled, Paul, didn't he?
Exactly. So he started on the wing. And Henry is one of the best strikers to ever grace a football pitch. So I'm not saying he wouldn't be a fantastic player. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that I don't think Ronaldo had the versatility to play in different positions. I think he was fantastic what he did. And I use Henry as the comparison, not Overmars, because I think that Henry's a better comparison of a world-class player playing on the left and struggling because he was either too far, too deep... on the pitch, and then when he came forward he had an extra man to beat, so instead of beating just one or two men he had to beat three men to try and get the ball in, and it frustrated him. So I think when he went to move into the center, you saw what the quality of the player comes out, and I think Ronaldo would have had the same situation. I think Ronaldo would have still gone into center and it would have been a revolution at 22. They move him into the center and he just goes on the banging the goals.
Can I ask you a question? And you're saying that when they moved him inside, right? So when he was, do you think Sir Alex Ferguson didn't trust him out there because he couldn't hold the line, or that? Why do you think he was brought inside?
At United, his position was just go. He became do what you want. He was that good. Ferguson didn't give him a position. On the team sheet, he would be on the right, but by the start of the game, he'd be on the left in the middle. It'd be deep up top.
You're saying that. He could play as both. You're saying that Cristiano Ronaldo was a winger and a striker, yeah? Where R9 wasn't. But there must have been a reason why Sir Alex Ferguson gave him that. Maybe he didn't. I don't know. Maybe he didn't trust him out there. Or
I don't.
When Cristiano first came to United, he couldn't cross a ball.
What? Agreed.
He could not cross a ball to save his life, Cristiano. Agreed. When he first came to United, they were talking about him being a flop. Oh my God!
No, that was never spoken about. The word flop.
Oh, maybe a flop was a bit strong. But what I'm saying is that he was being looked at as his decision making was shit. His decision making was shocking, and his final ball was crap. I scrapped the flop bit. That was a bit to tongue in cheek. But yeah, so maybe they had to move his position because, you know, he couldn't be trusted to make that final ball in them positions. Mm. Now, so maybe. It's all different buts. But yeah, I remember that clearly as to. Bit like, don't get me wrong, I'm not comparing Theo Walcott to Ronaldo by any stretch of the imagination, but he was labelled with the same problem. He was rapid. Sometimes he could get past the player. All the great stuff, and then the final ball was shocking. And I remember a phase of Ronaldo being thrown at him.
But it was only very short. His first season United, it was a bit of a one-trick pony, and then everyone had a chat with him about going down too easily. But he did become effective on the wing. And when we did play the most successful group, it was Tevez up top. It was Rooney on the left and Ronaldo on the right. And they would interchange. All three would move. So that's the ability he had. He can go anywhere. And I think that's a testament to Ronaldo, Rooney and Tevez at the time. So, but yeah, the original point, I just think he would have eventually gone into the central position and scored a shitload of goals because he's absolutely world-class. There's no doubt on that. But versatility, I think, definitely in the modern game now, and he would have still wrecked it now. There's no denying that at all. But I just think he would have still had the same problem, which is his professionalism. I think he would have still drunk, still partied. And he had some great managers. So you can't be using, if so-and-so got hold of him. You know, he was managed by some top managers. And they just
got
the best out of him, of his attitude.
Okay, great. That was an interesting debate. I enjoyed that. Right, going on to key point three now. I'm going to quote givemesport.com because they have worded this argument perfectly for key point three. So have a listen, lad, and then I'm going to come to Lee for this one. So have a listen to this. It's fantastic. Right. This is Serie A versus La Liga. This is what Paul jumped to earlier. We had to stop him short. Okay. Right. R9 played in Italy's golden era. When you think back to the Football Italia years, the one thing that immediately springs to mind is the unbelievable defenders. Paolo Maldini, Alessandro Nesta, Fabio Cannavaro. The list is endless. Ronaldo not only competed against them, but he embarrassed them. Defending these days isn't on the same level. High lines, playing out from the back, the quality in the modern game isn't half what it used to be in Serie A's heyday. Cristiano wouldn't last 2 seconds against some of the players Ronaldo rings around. Now, this is in CR7's defence. Cristiano Ronaldo played in La Liga's golden era. I've got two words for you, Lionel Messi. When Brazilian Ronaldo played, he didn't have anyone nearly as good as Messi to compete against. Pep Guardiola's Barcelona were a force to be reckoned with. And the fact Cristiano managed to win La Liga trophy and outscore Messi from 2009 to 2012 speaks volumes. Indeed, the last decade of La Liga will go down as one of the greatest in any league ever. And CR7 was the forefront of it all. Scoring goals and winning trophies, all while competing against one of the best club sides to ever set foot on a football pitch. So I think that's a great analysis of this argument. So Lee, I want to come to you. Basically, Serie A in the 90s versus La Liga in the 2010s, late noughties. How do you sum that up, mate?
Well, what you just said there is like great points. Mm. But what I will say is I believe that La Liga, there's only two teams really in that era that you're talking about. It was just Barcelona and Real Madrid. I'm not going to lie, they should beat all the other 18 teams. I know Atletico Madrid have become quite decent now, but for me, in the 90s, they were all tough. Juventus, AC, Inter, Lazio.
Like, Roma.
Yeah, Roma, yeah. Like they were all... That's five... quality side that competed for the Scudetto.
And the defence, Lee, as well. I think the point is the defence of the Serie A sides in the 90s, but that's world class.
But those five Italian teams, obviously, they were all... That's what it was like. Well, the Italians were all well known for,
Yeah.
Well-drilled and defensive. But in La Liga, personally, like I said, there's only, all right, I wouldn't put like Seville in the Valencia in the category of that I'm putting AC Inter Juventus in.
Would you say, Lee, would you say that La Liga was more attack-minded, where Serie A was more defence-minded, where it's harder to beat a defender, where it's easier to beat a defender in Serie A, in La Liga, sorry?
1,000,000%, yeah. That's exactly how I look at it. Like, I'll tell you the only team, really, that I find a bit defensive is Diego Simeone's Atletico Madrid. They're probably the only defence-minded side in La Liga. At this current now, but
whereas in Serie A back in the 90s, early 90s, you're talking double figures for defensive.
Everything was it weren't pretty to watch. I agree, but they were there to do a job. So 1-0 win, that's like for them, that's like Barcelona winning 10-0.
Yeah, okay, Dave. Does Lee make valid points there? Or is he talking claptrap?
No, I agree. I agree that Ronaldo R9 played against the better defenders. It's without a shadow of a doubt. But I don't think you can dismiss Cristiano Ronaldo doing the same to them. Now, I'm not saying, you know, it's all ifs and buts, but Cristiano Ronaldo is special. Now, we're never going to know whether it happened or it cannot happen, but what's going to happen. But I feel that he does the same job on them. You know, he's special. He is special.
But Dave, the quality of I think what the statement that I read and what Lee's saying, the quality of defender, I don't think you can compare the quality of the La Liga defender in the 90s, early 10s to the Serie A, surely, no? I might be wrong.
No, you can't. R9 was up against the better defenders without a shadow of a doubt.
Paul, has Dave and Lee got a point?
Were
the defenders better in Serie A in the 90s?
No doubt about that. That's not even an argument. I don't think anyone can argue that. I think you could have put the Arsenal back four in the league in Serie A at that stage and they would have been up there with the best. But I think, he was up against the best defenders in the world and he did embarrass them. Absolutely. He embarrassed defenders. He went in every league, to be honest. It doesn't matter. You know, the calibre of defenders in that period were much better in Italy. So, yeah, but I don't think you can compare. I don't know. Ronaldo went up against Sol Campbell. You know, I think Sol Campbell's one of the best defenders in Europe has ever seen. He went up against...
In Europe, yeah, I agree. In Europe, yeah.
John Terry. I think John Terry's one of the best defenders to grace the Premier League in the modern era. Ashley Cole, you know, okay, he's not Maldini, but they're very good left-back, you know? Mm-hmm. I think he went against some fantastic defenders, you know, at Juventus, you had Bonucci and what's the other centre back who went on? Juventus had great.
I want to ask as well, because obviously Ronaldo's coming to the end of his career now. Well, you never know it, but you know, he's 36. He's still banging in the goals. The defenders he's playing against now, even though he's racking up the numbers, are they, I wouldn't say misleading, but going back to the 90s again.
Well, it's true what you said, Graham.
Go on, Lee.
True what you said about high lines, playing out of the backs. That's true. That didn't happen in the 90s.
Mm.
So
the thing is, the way it's played now, the high lines, I think that R9, he's loving that. Because they used to play deep and he used to run through them. Could you imagine if he had space to run in? I think he would have racked up even more goals for the way it's played.
I disagree a little bit, just very, very little. But Serie A always played playing out from the back. That hasn't changed.
No, I'm about playing out from the back.
No, but I'm saying playing out from the back. Talking about high lines. Back in Serie A in those days, the lines weren't necessarily as high now, but they weren't deep, and they were playing out from the back. So I think if, just as a modern comparison, I think Serie A have always done a very similar style to what's been done in Europe now. I don't disagree with you, but I just think Serie A has always
obviously R9 used to turn them and take a player on step overs and he was away. If you're playing a high line, you're up at the halfway line and he turns you there, you're not catching him I feel that he racks up even more goals. I don't think you could play a high line against him.
Agreed.
You know, so that's
like also talking about defence. When we interviewed Kevin Pressman, he said like that the back pass rule kind of killed Des Walker.
Yeah.
That might be wrestling like in the 90s. Like that's why I don't know, because you could do that. That's why the Italian team may have played that way. Like
Can I also say one of the points that Graham said? I know we're not talking about Messi, but I feel the fact that Messi was so good as well pushed Cristiano Ronaldo to be better. I don't think he was as good without Messi also being as good, if you know what I mean. I think they spurred each other on to be better. I feel that they need each other, and I feel they got the better. They made each other what they are.
You mentioned Messi alongside Cristiano Ronaldo. During the 90s and the early 2000s, who would you have said, this is all you've actually, who would you have said was R9's main competitor to be the best in the world? Who was alongside him at that time, would you say? I'll stop you, Dave. Who just said that was, or he was just as good or could have been as good, you know, at that time?
No one.
Oh, blimey. That's, you've put me on the spot there, Graham. I don't think you could have
yourself
anyone
on the spot by comparing him with Messi. But
I don't mean R9 with him. I thought that Cristiano Ronaldo and Messi. But no, there was no one as good. I don't think there was, you know, there was brilliant, brilliant strikers, but I think he was just better. So off the top of my head, I can't think of anyone that you could even, you know.
Well, Thierry Henry was around at the same time. Let's throw him in the mix. Same era,
90s, 2000s. You're pulling up my heartstrings now, Graham. You know, mentioning Henry, you're pulling up my heartstrings. You know, I love him.
Much later.
You know, if I'm going to start talking about Henry being better than Ronaldo, I'm going to get grief. I don't know. At the time, I don't think there was anyone. He was an anomaly.
They were good strikers.
But they weren't him.
Yeah, you know. Zaghi, Christian Vieri,
Del Piero, Vieri, yeah. Shearer.
I still, I mean, you're rattling off names of strikers there, but I still don't think you can put him in his category.
No, you can't. Mind.
I don't think you can.
No, he was what the difference is what you've got now is you've got players like Harry Kane and. I don't know if you think now, Aguero.
They are struggling after Harry Kane, weren't they?
Yeah, but world class, world class. But then you've got Ronaldo and Messi, who are just a cut above anyone else that's anywhere near them.
Yes.
And Erling Haaland's world class.
Sorry?
Would you say Erling Haaland's world class?
Well, you know my view on longevity.
Let's stick with the stick with the actual topic.
You look a bit like Erling Haaland. I've just realised that now looking at your fizzer.
I can wish I had money.
He's still Kevin De Bruyne for me, mate.
No,
I think Batistuta, Del Piero and all these players were on the world-class level, and then Ronaldo was just, was above. And I think...
I agree with you, Paul.
Yeah, I don't think you can compare. As I said, this is a very difficult one, but I think it's more relevant than him versus Messi, personally. I think it's a more
relevant argument.
Well, look, things like that question, that's good for the listeners, like, to do a poll in that. Who do you think?
So, that's a great... I'm glad you said that, Lee, because my last point, it's not a major point, but it has some influence. It's players' opinions versus fans' opinions. I've done a bit of research during the week, and they've got Jose Mourinho. Whatever you think of the guy, he's a serial winner. He's Portuguese, so he's got a bit of loyalty towards Cristiano Ronaldo. Plus, he's managed him as well. Plus, he was assistant manager with Bobby Robson with... R9 at Barcelona, and to this day he says he's the best player he's ever seen in his life. He's worked with him, so I'd rather take his opinion than the fans' opinion. Kaká as well, played with both. He said he's seen things R9 does in training on the pitch that he's never seen anybody else do in world football. You guys can reel off different opinions if you've got them in front of you, but the fans' opinions as well, like Lee just said about fans' opinions. I think, lads, do you think it goes on age? Because we've all made valid points. Some of us are for Ronaldo CR7, some of us are against CR7, etc. They've both got great attributes. But for people that's never seen R9, and maybe for the younger generation, not going to see a CR7, there might be like the likes of Erling Haaland, as we've mentioned. Just basically, what is your opinion? I'm just going, Paul, I'm going to start with you. Opinions of players and opinions of fans. How does it measure up, mate?
Well, look, you know, I think we said in a previous podcast about Pelé and Maradona. We use those two as a good barometer. Is that, you know, Maradona and Pelé, it was Pelé class as well, class by everyone's speaking about him. Yes, he was. But we never really saw him play apart from the highlight reels we've seen. He'd done his career in Brazil. His legendary status has gone off his Brazilian career. I think when a player comes out, and I've used this in my argument with Giggs in the past, when players come out and give, and the PFA come out and they vote for things and they mention things, they've got more of a valid opinion than the fan, because the fan only sees a player from on the 90 minutes on the game, maybe a bit more now, but a player is with them day in, day out training. They know what's going on in their personal life. They see things, that the audacity to try things. So I think it's very difficult to have a fan opinion that's anywhere near as valid as someone like a Jose Mourinho who's worked with a fella. So it's, yes, a fans have an opinion, because one, a manager's opinion, it can generally be less biased as well. Or a player's opinion can be less biased, because there's no loyalty to that club that they've played for. So I could be biased.
Can I ask you a question, Paul, as well? You're great opinions, mate. Can I ask you a question? Would you say our opinions, the three of us sitting there talking to this, would you think our opinions are as valid as pros? Because I'll make a point as well. Like, you know, Xboxers and boxers, for an example, that make comments on football. They've never played the game at the highest level, and most of them haven't. What I'm trying to say is, are our opinions valid? Because if our opinions aren't valid, theirs surely aren't. Or is it just focused on ex-pros, what they say goes, you know?
No, everyone's opinion is valid. Everyone's opinion is valid. You know, I'm quite opinionated on what I say.
I never noticed that.
But I'd argue things. And then, you know, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But it's very rare that I'm wrong.
Pretty weak.
But I think... Again, as I just said, I think our opinions are valid from what we've seen of that person and what we've experienced in that person. Compared to someone that's played in the game, their opinion is more valid because, as I said, they've lived the life of being under pressure, of playing in front of 50, 40, 60, 75.
I also, and sorry, Paul, let me jump in. I also think that players can be biased as well. Because if I'm in a team with Mbappe, say Mbappe's in my team, and I get a vote on... who's better at Mbappe and Haaland? I'm not going to pick Haaland. Mbappe's in my team. You know what I mean? So it's a loyal thing to people's opinions as well.
That's now. That's not. Jose Mourinho said that recently.
That'd be across the board as well. There's still a loyalty into people's opinions.
Of course.
You know, it's like, say, someone calls you an arsehole, I'm not going to, I mean, I probably would agree, but I'm not going to agree because you're my mate. So there's a bias, there's a loyalty there to an opinion.
Definitely, yeah, I agree with what they're saying.
The loyalty thing Dave's on about, I mean, it makes a great point there. I use Mourinho as an example because he's Portuguese, so he has some sort of loyalty, you would think, to Cristiano Ronaldo. Does that play a point, or do you think the pros are actually talking sense?
I think they're talking sense.
Okay, then go to Kaká's opinion. He said exactly the same as a... you know, a pro playing at the top level. Do you reckon that's biased? But because he played with both, or do you reckon it's biased because he played with Ronaldo? That's the point I'm trying to make.
But then Kaká's Brazilian, so then you can throw out, he's only saying Ronaldo because he's Brazilian. So there's always some sort of bias into an opinion. This is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
it's very rarely that it's completely neutral.
I just want to mention something. We know we're talking about R9's his work ethic and all stuff like that. And you mentioned Kaká, Dave. So I was just saying. I read there's a striker called Pato. He used to play for AC Milan.
Yeah, he played for Chelsea, didn't he?
Yeah. So he reckons on his first day at AC Milan, like, he walks into the dressing room and R9 said to him, like, listen, like, I think he had a porno mag. He said, you want to live my life or Kaká's, whilst he was praying? Like, so that's the kind of lifestyle that he had. Like, he had a play.
Is that why Pato went to shit then, reading all porn and all that?
Yeah, must have been. Yeah, he must have been on the old Playboy magazines.
Beating his meat.
Okay, then, yeah, that's interesting opinions. Before I move on to the question, I'm going to ask each of you now. I'll start with you, Paul. Out of the two players, watching them, forget anybody else's opinions, anything you've read, any stats, trophies, achievements. Watching the Cristiano Ronaldo and watching R9 by yourself, how do they make you feel? Which one would you say is the edge of your seat stuff? Which one would you say is, wow, off the scale, I'd love to play with him, I love him at Manchester United? Be honest, which one would you say, I think it's fantastic? And you've got to pick one.
Who gave you the Wigan history? Is that what you're asking? Who gave me
the Wigan history? Dave Brown White material.
Who gave you the sticky poster?
Go on.
obviously I've seen Ronaldo play more, and I've seen Ronaldo live on, I think 10 or 15 times I've seen him play live. And I would just watch him during the game, and it was just, everything about him was phenomenal. I've never seen Brazilian Ronaldo play live. But as I said at the beginning, I remember watching the Champions League game at Old Trafford, and he just was it was football bliss to watch someone.
Is that, sorry, Paul, is that the one where the United fans applauded him as well?
Rio Ferdinand is no mug, and he just made Rio Ferdinand just look like he weren't even on the pitch. I have to go with Ronaldo. I have to go with...
No, don't get me wrong. It's not the vote. It's who got you more excited? Yeah.
I think I have to go with my Ronaldo just purely because... Yeah. He was playing for my team, so every time he played, I mean, some of the goals that he played, you know, in the Champions League winning season with Tevez and Rooney, just the combination of watching them was a joy. So for me, I have to go with, I enjoy watching CR7 personally, because, and that is completely biased. There's no, I can't come away from that. The bias of you on that one.
No. Dave, same question.
Yeah, no, for me, it's R9. When I was a kid when R9 was doing his bits. So football was our lives. Football was our everything. So I would be excited to watch him. I'd be like, oh my God, this guy. Unbelievable. And it was my world. It was all of our worlds at that time. We were kids. Yeah. I can't get excited as a man looking at Cristiano Ronaldo. You know, like, obviously I admire what he does and it's great and all that, but I don't get the same, you know, like, because life's different. So I'm going to go on the feeling I had when Ronaldo was playing and I was a kid. Thinking, oh my God, this guy is unbelievable.
Yeah.
So for me, and like again, it goes back to being an age thing. You know, like it goes back to a generation thing, where you're always going to pick the players from your generation, which you will. So if I'm going on the feelings I had from each player, it's R9 for me.
Lee?
Yep, R9. One of the reasons I'll give is, look, don't get me wrong, Cristiano Ronaldo, he's world class. He's phenomenal. But what I didn't see with the scoring goals, I don't see Cristiano Ronaldo taking on four or five men and then
grounding the goalkeeper.
Yeah. Look, don't get me wrong. He can score from 30, 35 yards, top corner. It's like he can smash the ball. But R9, he was just dribbling past players. And I was thinking, fucking hell, wow, he's amazing. So. Yeah, so with the wow factor, R9.
Can I also ask you, Lee, when we've done the Kevin Pressman interview, he mentioned about the ball.
You're wrong. Cristiano Ronaldo, he's world class. He's phenomenal. But what I didn't see with the scoring goals, I don't see Cristiano Ronaldo taking on four or five men and then
grounding the goalkeeper.
Look, don't get me wrong. He can score from 30, 35 yards, top corner. Like he can smash the ball, but R9, he was just dribbling past players. And I was thinking, fucking hell, wow, he's amazing. So, yeah, so with the wow factor, R9.
Can I also ask you, Lee, when we've done the Kevin Pressman interview, he mentioned about the balls in this day and age. He said about people that were basically crap scoring 30 yarders, making them look better. Do you reckon that's a factor in this day and age?
I do. Yeah. Well, obviously, Kevin Pressman did mention that. And he said like that the balls now are designed to score more goals, to make it more entertaining. It's like, I don't know if this might just be like false, but they were saying, so you know, like, I'm just going to Premier League darts, darts in the industry. Apparently, the trebles are bigger on their boards than a normal board, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So they hit more 180s, and it makes it like fun for better for the crowd. I don't know, that might be wrong, but that's.
So they've got sort of an advantage, whereas the players from yesterday you haven't.
I'm not comparison like darts to football, but back in the day, like there's all wires on the things and like the thing we bought, like now there's no wires. It's like you hardly ever get many bounce outs. It's just that's what I think. So the balls nowadays, they, like Kevin Pressman said, they are designed to move everywhere. So it makes it harder for the keeper and it makes it easier for strikers to score goals.
Great point. I'm going to say my little piece now. It's been interesting, very interesting. It's so hard to split the two, isn't it? It's just a little stat I found out. R9, The way he scored a goal, the way he dropped the shoulder when he beat 4 or 5 men, as Lee mentioned. 88 times he did that when he went around a goalkeeper in his career. 88 times. You think they would have learned, wouldn't you, the goalkeepers when playing against him? But but you can never, ever, in my opinion, poo-poo Cristiano Ronaldo. I think he's got to be, when you're picking a world 11, I think he gets in there every time, doesn't he? You have to, you cannot not put him in there.
Yeah, maybe on the wing.
Yeah, well, maybe on the wing, yeah. This is going to sound slightly harsh, but a few of you have mentioned it, even Paul mentioned it as well, which I didn't think you would, about the natural ability of R9. I think that the ability of CR7, when he first burst onto the scene with Manchester United, it looks slightly manufactured, as in the step overs and the diving. It looks like he's worked on his game so much to be the product that he is, the fitness that he's in.
Graham, I've got one for you. You probably heard this, but now you've mentioned boxing, and it's probably apt to this conversation. Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard.
100%.
You probably heard that one in the boxing. They use that a lot.
I've heard the quote, yeah, but I have heard the quote, mate. I'm not sure who it's from.
Ben said it, didn't he, the other week?
What's that?
Conor Ben said it the other week.
Oh, yeah. But that is very much that, yeah, the scenario. You've got one player that's naturally talented. Obviously, it doesn't make him shit, but and you've got another player that worked hard to get where he is.
Lovely. Okay, let's wrap this up then before we get on to our quiz. Like I said, we could go on for hours and hours about these two guys. So, after everything we spoke about and all the key points, facts and opinions on both players, the goals, the trophies, the skill set and everything else that comes with them, I think we can all agree, that they are both two of the greatest players ever seen in world football. But now I need to ask the question in one word only. Who was the better player? I'm going to start with you, Dave. In one word only. Who was the better player, R9 or CR7?
R9.
Paul, R9 or CR7?
CR7.
Lee?
R9.
I didn't take long, did it? yeah, as well, as I said one word, I'm going to have to go for R9. I've done a different quiz this week. You've been used to me having lists of players and the guys guessing them. I've got a similar quiz, but the guys are going to work together this week, but they can still win individually. Talking of Brazilian Ronaldo and Portuguese Ronaldo, I've done 12 players from each country based from 1992 to 2009. So what I'm asking you to do is, each of you, I'm going to start with Portugal, you've got 4 guesses each. I've got 12 players written down, and you have to guess the 12 players I've got, okay? So, Paul, you've got 4 guesses. Dave, 4. And Lee, 4. I don't care if you cheat, use Google, whatever. It makes no difference. I've got the 4 written down on my piece of paper here, right?
Please don't give Mickey a chance to cheat.
You know, it doesn't matter. You can cheat all you want. I think I think there, from that period, there was 40 Brazilians and 40 Portuguese players from 92 to 2009, the period we're covering. So it doesn't matter whether you cheat or not. If it's not on the paper, it doesn't matter. So it doesn't matter who goes first. So I'm going to go for one each. So who wants to go first? I'm guessing I'm going to start with Portugal.
I'll go first.
Okay, Dave. So I've got 12 players written down. Who's your first player from the Premier League era that's on my piece of paper? From 1992 to 2009.
Well, is this a goalkeeper or any position?
Any Portuguese player, Lee.
I'm going to go for Postiga.
You locking in Helder Postiga, Dave?
Yeah.
Yep. Helder Postiga's made the list. Well done.
You said that we're working as a team, so we can confer this, yeah?
You can do. It makes no difference. Well, I've got my piece of paper. I'm going to say
Paulo Ferreira. What do you think on that, guys?
Yeah, go.
Yeah, Paulo Ferreira.
You locking him in?
Yep.
Unfortunately, he's not on the list, Lee.
Oh, fuck's sake. Carvalho.
Ricardo Carvalho?
Yeah.
Are you locking him in?
Yeah.
Yeah, good job, Paul.
He doesn't make the list, I'm afraid, Paul.
Bosingra.
He doesn't make the list, Dave.
Oh, my God.
Wait, I bet you've picked some right old shit players, didn't you?
I know. Do you know what I mean?
West Ham
Danny, I did say 1992 to 2009.
Well, I'm locking Danny in.
Going Danny, yeah?
Yeah.
He's got
me. He's made the list.
Oh, for God's
sake. Hey, just think of the another 10 shit Portuguese players and they'll be on his list.
Right. Mickey, think of 10 shit Portuguese players and they'll be on the list.
Is right. Marco Bugas Portuguese?
He's Dutch, I think, though.
Dutch. Ronaldo.
He doesn't make the list, Paul.
Oh, fuck off.
You've got two votes left, Dave.
Nani.
Nani makes a list, Dave. Well done.
Well done.
Nice.
In it.
This is going to get tricky. Who did you say that? You said Helder Postiga, didn't you? Right. I'm sure he was there. So I'm going to go for Nuno Valente.
Doesn't make the list, Lee.
Louis Bormorte. Louis Bormorte for Mark.
Louis Bormorte of Arsenal and Fulham.
Yeah.
Well done, Paul. Makes a list.
I knew he was in.
Louis Bormorte. See you on your last show.
I'm going to go for Deco.
But he didn't make the list. You didn't get that right, Dave. But yes, you have got two. That was my mistake.
Well, Dave, I know. I named someone. Is it over now?
No.
Oh, George Cadet.
You locking him in?
Did he play in the Prem?
Bradford.
And Lee's got him. He's locked in. George Cadet's on the list.
Yes.
Is this like the shit 11? Is that what we're doing now? Just like a shit 11?
No, it's a Portuguese 11. It's played from 92 to 2009. Last vote now.
Pedro Mendes.
Wait, no, wait, there's another classic for West Ham, man.
Hang on, it's Paul's vote. You can make this the last vote now.
That's what I'm saying.
Help you. Well, hold on. Who are you thinking
Mendes,
about?
I'm thinking Paulo Futre.
Oh, no. If he's in there, this is pathetic. Because that's
why is it pathetic? He's a professional footballer playing for Portugal and West Ham.
Right.
Go on, Paul. Who did you say?
Morales. Did Real Morales, he played later, didn't he? Mendes from Tottenham.
Pedro Mendes?
Yeah.
You're locking him in?
Yeah.
Well done, Paul. He's on the list.
Yes,
Paul. He made the list. So you're all drawing, boys. 2-2-2. Just where we've got the Brazilians to go. Shall I read you out my list?
Yeah.
Luis Bormorte, George Cadet, Danny, Jose Dominguez, Paulo Futre, Manish, Pedro Mendes, Nani, Hugo Porfirio, Helga Postiga, Thiago, and Hugo Viana. Right, move on to the Brazilians now. So you're all
level. I was going to say Ricardo Vaste as well, Dave. He was another one.
I think he would have been my wild card in case of a draw, but it is a draw at the moment. So, right, start with Dave again. This is my 12 Brazilians, 92, 2009. Start me off, Dave.
Gilberto Silva.
Locking him in?
Yeah.
Doesn't make the list, Dave.
You're taking the piss.
I'm not.
How can you have an invincible in it?
Hey, Alpha.
Branco.
Branco of Middlesbrough.
All right.
Yes.
1995.
Yep. Yeah.
He's made the fucking list. Mickey.
Alano, Man City.
2007.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's made the list as well. Well done, Paul. Same Dave.
Janinho.
Yeah, good shot, Dave.
Are you definitely locking him in, Dave?
Yeah.
He doesn't make the list, I'm afraid.
Oh, my life.
Oh, man. Somebody is leading, so I'm losing. Lee?
Robinho.
Yep.
Yep, he makes the list. He's on there.
Fuck off. You can have Robinho, not Janinho.
Roque's.
No, Roque Jr.?
No, yeah, he won. Brazilian, Paul. He's Paraguayan.
No, that's Santa Cruz.
Roque Jr. played for Brazil.
Yeah,
Roque Santa Cruz.
Okay.
You sticking with him?
Yeah, go on.
Well done, Michael. He makes the list. Roque Jr.'s in there. So, Dave, see if you can redeem yourself. Now your third vote.
Emerson.
Good.
Which one?
The one from Middlesbrough.
You're locking the Middlesbrough one in?
Yeah.
He doesn't make the list, I'm afraid.
I'll do the other one.
Go on, then.
No. I'm going to go for... Who I think you've done, because I know your thing. I'm going to go for Mario Yardel.
Oh, there's my one.
Are you going because of the Phil Brown interview?
Yep.
Yeah, he's made the list.
Alves from Borough. Alfonso who? Alves.
You locking him in?
Did you just say who?
Yeah, who?
I'm not locking him in anymore.
Oh, okay. I just said, because I couldn't hear you.
Okay, no, I'll stick with him. I'll stick with him.
I bet you wish you never, because he doesn't make the list, I'm afraid. Last vote each now, Dave. Let's go over with it,
I got Joe. Man City. Yeah.
This is the fifth one you've got wrong in a row, son. No, he doesn't make the list.
Fucking hell.
Danielson for Arsenal.
Danielson?
Yeah.
No, he doesn't make the list either. Hang on, let's take a look at the scores before Mickey answers. Dave's got 1, 2. Lee's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And Paul's got 1, 2, 3, 4. Or if he gets his one of this, it's a draw. Mickey.
I can't believe you ain't named one of your midfielders, Dave, to be fair, after Gilbert. Hey,
babe.
No.
He's a bit Portuguese. Michael's having a good study there, look.
I think he's like the managing director. He was a very underrated player, in my opinion, Dave.
Edu.
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of.
Edu.
Are you locking Edu in?
Yeah, go on.
When you do your editing music for the claps, you're going to have to put it to Lee Arthur because Edu doesn't make the vote. Doesn't make the list. Well done, Lee.
Raphael. What was your one? Raphael and Fabio. The twins.
The list was, listen to the list. You might kick yourself, Dave, because the nasty one here coming in second. Alex. Julio Baptista, Franco, Elano, Aurelio Gomez, Mario Jardel, Kleberson, Rubinho, Fabio Rockenbach, Roque Jr., Silvinho, and Emerson Tom. So, thanks once again. We've come to the vote that R9's the better striker, the better player. We'll put our votes out on Twitter. We'll put our votes on Instagram. See what you think. I might be completely wrong. But I hope you've enjoyed this episode and come back next week. Thanks, guys.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.